The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to today's action in Ferry House. We're back over the obstacles in Ireland. The 7-race National Hunt card to look forward to there. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line to look ahead to today's card is William Hill Radio's Irish racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
I'm all right, mate. You?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Good.
Some nice horses on show in Ferry House today.
Yeah, this has got a similar shape and feel to many of the Irish National Hunt fixtures at the moment. Big field, but dominated by Mr. W.P. Mullins.
Yeah.
He has got plenty of firepower, as we know, and ready to unleash. And we've got several of those all out today, all out in force. And it'll be a brave man to suggest he won't leave here with more than perhaps two or three winners.
Yeah, he could have a good day today, Willie Mullins. And interesting to see how Shane Hill gets on as well in the 135. We'll move on to that in due course. But potential Cheltenham Festival favourite, isn't he, really, if he takes to hurdling very well. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm looking forward to him. He's the star on the show. He's unbackable. Well, he's not unbackable. Everything's got a price, isn't it? And people will back him. But unbackable for the likes of you and me, Mark.
Yeah, it's not a working man price, as they say.
No.
Let's get stuck into the action anyway. The first race is the 12:35, and we start here with a hurdle over 2 miles. And Willie Mullins has a pretty strong hand here. He's got the market leader, Aklan, who's just gone a shade of odds on at 10-11. He's also got Degenta in the lineup as well, but it's Waxy's Dargle, who's the second favourite at 9-4, and being backed as well from 11-4. 13-2 for Degenta. Sir Abbott is 9-1. You Must Know Me. Another one at nines, and then 16-1 and double figure prices for the others. Aklan received a favourable mention in Willie Mullins' stable tour. He says that he expects him to progress up the ladder this year, and this will be his first step on the hurdling ladder. So what do you make of him at the top of the market, Andy?
Yeah, he's potentially a smart horse, isn't he? He used to be with John Ox. I think he was a listed winner with John Ox back in the day, and he got off the mark first time of asking over hurdles in pretty emphatic fashion. That was back in January last year, and we haven't seen him since. Quite what the problem has been, I don't know, but Willie Mullins has given him a favourable mention, as you say, in his stable tour. He's a horse with a good engine that, in the main, jumped quite well, I thought, on his debut. It wasn't spectacular, but he was adequate enough. But it's all about the flat speed and the engine with this horse, isn't it? If he can brush up his jumping, then he's going to be a force to be reckoned with in good novice hurdles this season. His main market rival, in fact probably his only danger really today in all intents and purposes, is Waxy's Dargle. For those of us that were up early this morning, we've managed to burgle a bit of 4-1 about this maggot. He looks a decent each way bet, probably not now at 9-4 stroke 5-2, but he looks the only conceivable threat to the favourite, given that he's already got plenty of experience over hurdles. He's got a rating of 131, which is quite high for a race like this, and we know that he handles the track as well. One of his two career victories come here on soft ground. That was back last year when he had to dig deep to win that day. He's had just the one run this season. And it was a decent effort in a strongly run handicap at Down Raw, won by Stockton's Wing. He had every chance, but he couldn't quite match the front two in the latter stage. But it's still good enough to suggest that he's got a bright season ahead of him. As I say, soft ground, absolutely not a bother. He's fitting well, and it just has to be whatever happens in the frame. And borrowing accident. So I back Waxy's Dargle each way. Unfortunately, like I say, you're going to have to back him win only now for those joining in this podcast sort of midway through the morning. But I still think he'll give Aklan a race, whatever.
Okay. Could you see value in him without Aklan at 11-10?
Yeah, that could be another option. Yeah, I haven't really thought of that. I was only really thinking the one way this morning, from an each way perspective. But yeah, for those, like I say, for those that haven't got the opportunity to perhaps back him each way, then that's the other alternative.
Okay. So Waxy's Dargle to hit the frame at least in the 12:35. Then the 1:05 is race two on the card, and this is a maiden hurdle over 2 miles, and an interesting runner at the top of the betting here. We have Willie Mullins Outlander, who's 4-6 now, was 4-5, but that's been hoovered up already. Blue Bicycle is 9-2. Mike McCann 5s, and then 16-1 on bigger prices for the others. Outlander was a bit of a revelation in bumpers, managed to win three of them on the bounce before finishing mid-division in the champion bumper at Punchestown. Not many horses win three bumpers in a row, do they, Andy? So what do you make of Outlander? He's obviously exciting going over hurdles now.
Yeah, he was a withdrawal the other day, wasn't he? I think he was down to run over the weekend, and he didn't make the gig for whatever reason. Reading Willie Mullins' comments in the trainer file, he suggests this horse is going to be a chase in the making, and he intimated he might actually go over the larger obstacle, so it's a slight surprise to see him over hurdles. But either way, this looks a perfectly respectable starting point for this six-year-old, who hasn't been seen out since finishing sixth in the champion bumper at the Punchestown Festival. Prior to that, he'd won three off the spin, and he certainly didn't let his supporters down, really. I know he didn't finish in the first three, but it's still a decent enough effort at Punchestown. And a horse of his class really should be taking a race of this nature if he's going to hit the heights that the stable expect him to throughout the rest of the season. His main two market rivals are okay, but they're nothing special. Mike McCann, of course, just got nutted the other day by one of Robert Tyner's called Pulled Muscle. That just looks mediocre form. I suppose the danger on the numbers and on what he's run against is Blue Bicycle, of course. Big responsibility as well for Sandra Hughes, the daughter of Desi, having her first run with one of her dad's horses. And it'd be a poignant run, wouldn't it, if that horse was to go to win. If that horse reads the script, then you'd like to think that he'd certainly run a good race. And, you know, his form's pretty good. Fourth to the Tullow Tank, second to Shannon's Turn at Punchestown, Leopardstown, and fourth in a hot race at Davin on his last start when we saw him. So if I was going to have one without the favourite, then it definitely would be Blue Bicycle.
Okay, Blue Bicycle 5-2 without the favourite, but also 9-2, so you could just back him each way, couldn't
Another
you?
Another each way bet.
Yeah.
It's one of them days, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Is there a slight worry with Outlander as well, the fact that he hasn't been seen for 500-odd days? Well, nearly 600 days.
It probably would be if it wasn't with any other drivers than William Mullins. You know, he's done it time and time again. It's just, you know, he's got so many good horses to work at home. Fitness is never an issue. I've never known one of William Mullins' blow up.
No.
And the weight of money behind it as well, suggesting that they don't expect it to be needing the run.
Okay. The 1:35 is race three on the card, and this is another maiden hurdle. This one's over 2.5 miles, and a 1-5 favourite at the top of the betting in the shape of Shane's Hill. Wrath of Titans is 9-2, 15-2 for Keppel's Queen, Crown of Gold 8-1, and then 25-1 or bigger prices for the others. We all know what Shane's Hill did in bumpers last year, and can you see past him on his hurdling debut?
Not really, no. I don't think anyone can. He's such an exciting prospect that it's a case really of just sitting back and watching him win and watch what he does with regards to future. And we all know that he was one of the best, if not the best, bumper horse last year. Okay, he got beaten at the Cheltenham Festival. There was no disgrace in finishing second to Silver Concord, but he got his revenge in uncertain terms, and the ground was a bit more easier at Punchestown the last time we saw him. He does want plenty of dig in the ground. He's quite a big horse, isn't he? And I think in time he's going to be jumping fences. This season's very much all going to be geared around perhaps the Supreme Novices, or maybe even the Neptune. I'm not sure which race he'll end up running. And of course, you know, Fahin ended up in the Neptune and now reverts back to 2 miles over hurdles this year. So combination of speed and stamina is very much in Shane Hill's you know, makeup. His main danger seems to be Wrath of Titans, who I can't believe he got beat the other day, to be honest. He made all the running, got an uncontested lead, and still got nutted by Mr. Diablo, which is a bit of a shock to the system for those that thought he was a bit of a tap-in at a short price. Keppel's Queen and Crown of Gold have run okay, but again, those maiden hurdles have just been ordinary, the ones they've run in. So it's unoriginal, but you know, you can't look beyond Shane's Hill. And I suppose if you were betting without the favour, you'd look towards perhaps something like Crown of Gold, who at least might have a bit of upside against him, whereas, you know, Wrath of Titans, he's looking a bit vulnerable.
Okay. Yeah, and just I was just having a look at the Cheltenham Festival markets as well. Shane Hill 10-1 favourite for both the Neptune and 10-1 joint favourite for the Supreme. So already has a big reputation, doesn't he? So
whatever happens, even if we expect him to win, but even if he does win today, I'd imagine that bookmakers will still shorten him up.
Hmm. Okay, so hard to see past Shane's Hill in the 135 then. The 205 is the fourth race on the card, and we're into handicap company for the first time here. This is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles for four-year-olds and older, rated 80 to 95, and Bankman is the 3-1 market leader. 7-2 for Misty Lady. Mossman Park is 4-1. 8s for Duty Dance. Broadway Twist is 9s. 10s for Lakefield, and 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. Who do you side with in the 205, Andy?
I think Michael O'Hare could have a good day here today at Fairy House. That's a stable that often is associated with landing punts. And I thought this horse ran really well in what's turning out to be quite a decent handicap at Nace last time out. It was his first good run of any kind of note. His first run in a handicap. Black Spot On ran perfectly respectably the other day when he finished third in a handicap. Is herself about, also finished second at Cork, and there's other been horses placed out of that race as well. And considering he made ground up the inside, which is the not advantageous part of the track, I thought it was a decent enough return from this six-year-old. Such a weak race today that he has to be an inclusion in everyone's thoughts here. Misty Lady, Mossman Park are the other two horses in reasonable nick. They finished placed in their last two starts respectively, but I don't think their form probably adds up to a great deal in comparison with Bankman. So I do think that Nace race is a decent race of its kind. And it's not the only fancied horse Michael Hare has got on the card today. And I'll get on to talk about his other decent horse in the next race. But for now, Bankman gets the vote in the 205.
OK, Bankman in the 205. On to the 235. And this one is a handicap hurdle for four-year-olds and older, rated 80 to 102. And it's over 2.5 miles. And you mentioned Michael O'Hare has a decent one that's well fancied in this. Well, Special Bar is the 3-1 market leader from 9-2. Well backed this morning. Tipped Up Harry 7-2. 9-2 for Vision de Coeur. Written in the Stars is 6-1. 7-1 for Molly's Affair and for Joe the Painter. And then 15-2 or bigger prices for the others. Well backed Michael O'Hare runner. You've mentioned already that you know, they're like a gamble or two, the stable. So do you think this one wins?
Well, he's certainly good enough to get my vote anyway. I'm going to make him the best bet on the card. The price is today 3-1 with William Hill. One or two firms have already ducked for cover and gone 11-4. And I can only see him going one way in the market, particularly if the O'Hare camp have the first one of the double. But this one's definitely the pick of the two for me anyway. Again, another modest race. Got one or two horses that run well at this track and go well in soft or heavy ground for the Painter, Tipped Up Harry. But a lot of them, these are very exposed, whereas I think Special Bar's got a bit more to come. Certainly that's a theory anyway. That was an excellent race, that Nace race on the 2nd of November. I've had a few podcasts recently and I've intimated that form of that Nace handicap could be quite good. The circuit time was sensational. It was won by Michael Hourigan's Give Me a Break. It hasn't won since. But Salita, Paul Nolan's filly, ran really well yesterday in Wexford, chasing home the in-form Miss McVeal. We also saw Fort Smith as well. Now, this is a key horse, Fort Smith, one of Gordon Elliott's. He ran that horse in a graded race next time, and he finished second off a mark of 123. Special Bar ran half a length behind. Well, he was virtually upside him on the running, but he got beat by half a length by Fort Smith. Now, considering Special Bar was £12 at the handicap and raced off a mark of 106, you know, that was a decent effort just in isolation looking at that performance. But now he's actually gets to race off his true mark of 93. So he's really swimming in much shallower waters here. There's no Fort Smith, there's no Salitas or Give Me a Break in this race. No horses rated in the 120s. You know, it's really modest fodder. So just looking at him at face value on handicap ratings, he should really go well here. There's no reason why he wouldn't. My only slight reservation is two best runs in his life have come at Nace. Whether he's quite as good elsewhere, I don't know. We'll certainly find out today. The one thing he does do is go on heavy ground. The ground's going to be bottomless there today at Fairy House. His two best runs have come on heavy ground. So hopefully he can run as well as that Nace run. If he does, then he's surely going to go close.
Okay, best bet on the card then for Andy, then Special Bar in the 235. The 305 is the penultimate race this afternoon. This one is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 7 furlongs for four-year-olds and older, rated 80 to 109. And Knock Beauty is the 3-1 market leader. 7-2 for Triplets Joy. Mallard's In Flight is 9-2. Another bit of money for a Michael O'Hare run. Montana Slim is 10s into 8s. 9-1 for Bold Conquest and Dactic. And then 10-1 or bigger prices for the others. Just starting with the market leader here, Andy, Knock Beauty. This mare rattled up a hat-trick in the spring, the latest of them being off a mark of 104. That was over fences. She's over hurdles today off a £10 lower mark. She should be able to be competitive off that mark at least, shouldn't she?
That's the theory, yeah. It's always difficult, isn't it, with these chasers when they come back over hurdles. This obviously is a springboard to Knock Beauty's rest of the season exploits. But we just don't know, do we, what the modus operandi is today with Robert Tyner's child. We've seen it a couple of times this season, horses that have reverted back over hurdles. Tammy's Hill, for instance, he won at Cork off a £30 lower mark than his chase mark. Gallant Oscar the other day did exactly the same in his build-up to the Troy Town chase at Navan. So it certainly is possible. But I always tend to look elsewhere and go towards the hurdlers here. I think this is quite a deep race here. There's one or two horses who've been nibbled at in the market already. Incidentally, Montana Slim has also been the subject of one or two euros floating around. I think it's probably off the back of Michael O'Hare's possible gambles early on in the day. And if those two run well or win, obviously there's going to be a few liabilities floating around on Montana Slim. So I think bookmakers are already almost Barney Curley-esque running for cover there. But the two main ones to concentrate on away from Knock Beauty are Triplets Jaw and Mallards in Flight. Both of them coming in good nick. Triplets Jaw ran a blinder the other day down in Thurles when chasing home the informed pair, Mrs. McVeal and Cloudy Rock, and they fought out the finish yesterday in Wexford. So that's probably the best form on offer coming into this race on the speed figures. If she stays the trip, then I'm sure that Triplets Joy will go well. And as I mentioned, Mallards in Flight is another one to put on the shortlist. That was an excellent effort to make Gallant Oscar pull out all the stops down in Navan the other day. That horse, of course, is much higher rated over fences. And this was really the only one to offer any resistance to Tony Martin's charge in that latter stages of that race. She makes the run-in. She comes from a yard that is synonymous very much with the podcast. Obviously, he trained Shretor on the flat, so he's had a really good year under both codes. So you've got a straight choice, really. You either go with Triple Joy, the informed mare, or you go for the sneaky each-way one on Mallards in Flight. And me being a sneaky each-way punter, that's the way I'm going to go.
Okay, a couple of options there then in the 3.05. And the final race this afternoon is the 3.35. We finish with a bumper over 2.25 miles and an odds-on favourite in the shape of Arkrisht, who's 8-11 for Willie Mullins and Patrick Mullins. Ian guesses 3-1, 9-2 for Dallas Cowboy. Oscar Swan is 14, 16 for Brother Gold, and then 18-1 or bigger prices for the others. What do you make of the lucky loss, Andy?
Yeah, he's just cleaning up, isn't he, at the moment? Willie Mullins, his bumper horses seem to be flying as well. They had a winner on Sunday, and they might have said that they can't have another one here. They're always putting very short, and they're very difficult races to bet in here unless you've got the inside track. And I just usually, have a blanket overview in these races and just say, watch the market, take a few notes. If you've got to have a bet in it, then obviously, by all means, the only other two you could possibly offer up as viable dangers based on their overall profiles in these races, of course, is Engus and Dallas Cowboy from Stables, also synonymous with bumper winners. But the market usually unravels these kind of races without me kind of waffling on about them in the morning. That's the way I'd look at it. Obviously, I'm going to tick Arkrisht because I've got to put up a selection. Be following me to go against a Willie Mullins horse. But yeah, they're usually races I enjoy watching and learning about them for the future.
Okay, let's have a summary then, Andy, if you'll spin us through your selections for Fairy House one more time.
Yeah, it looks a strong day punting-wise here today at Fairy House. In the first race, I've taken on the favourite with Waxy Zargle. Sure, I'm getting a massive run for my money there. Outlander should win the 105. Without the favourite, Blue Bicycle looks the other option. All eyes will be on Shanesville in the 135. He should supply Willie Mullins at least one, if not two or three winners on the card. In the 205, it could be a good day here for Michael O'Hare, and his bandwagon rolls with Bankman firstly in that handicap. Best bet on the card is Special Bar. Certainly looks a handicap. Good thing, dare I say, in that particular handicap, given his run last time out in a much deeper race. The obvious one would be Knock Beauty off its handicap mark in the 305, but it doesn't always work out straightforward as that. So I'm going to take him on with Triplets Joy and most notably Mallards in Flight. And whatever happens to Willie Mullins throughout the remainder of the day, he should win the last race with Arkwright.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Andy. Good luck with those selections and enjoy Fairy House this afternoon.
Well done, mate. Thanks.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.